Bit.
There's hard evidence. John showed me the results of an archaeological dig in the 1950s.
And what was found in the fort was a spear
what's drawn is a spear shaft, spear shaft. There's also a spoon.
It might have been a very deadly spoon.
It could have been a pointy spoon.
I had been hoping for a chariot wheel, or maybe a helmet, but an army's got to eat. Or that's what I decided I would report to Tracy. If nothing else, Church Stowe, with its spoons and a mincing machine, sounds, if not the site of a battle, then at the very least, site of a Roman little chef. This is not entirely a joke. All right, it is, but it also is a plausible place for 10,000 Romans to have camped the night, while they awaited the arrival of the slow-moving enemy, trudging up Watling Street, looking for a fight. In that fight, Boudicca's forces were annihilated, and British history changed forever. But where? As I informed Tracy, I may not have found the knives from Boadicea's chariot wheel, but we do have a spoon.
Punt PI was produced by Neil McCarthy. Tracy was played by Gerard McDermott. An impoverished young American becomes the subject of a large bet between two wealthy English gentlemen. The £1 million banknote, based on the short story by Mark Twain, is our hour-long Saturday play in just a few moments, after a taste of some drama for tomorrow.
Imagine Charles Dickens' Martin Chuzzlewit in modern India.
I know my brother. He hates everyone. He won't even leave his money to a church or charity.
BBC Radio 4 presents the Mumbai Chuzzlewits.
Look at the themes. There was good versus evil. It was people trying to matchmake for money. There was murder. There were sons fighting fathers. It's a complete masala book. And it was just perfect for India.
This New Year's Day, Dickens Waller at 2:45 as a curtain raiser to the Mumbai Chuzzlewits at 3 o'clock on BBC Radio 4.
And later this afternoon, over on 4 Extra, Simon Callow recounts Charles Dickens' remarkable life and brings a host of his colourful characters to life. The Mystery of Charles Dickens is at 4 o'clock this afternoon over on the digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment, BBC Radio 4 Extra. Here on Radio 4 in an hour, we're celebrating a Beatles Christmas. Alexi Sale explores festive fan club messages, spells in panto and the Boxing Day film Magical Mystery Tour in a musical journey through the Christmas recordings of the Beatles. That's at 3:30. But now, our Saturday play. Mark Twain's comic and classic short story, specially dramatised for radio by Brian E. Lavery, takes us back to Christmas in London in the late 19th century. The £1 million banknote.
Your hot toddy, Mr. Basil.
No, thank you, Trunchbull.
And your hot toddy, Mr. Abel.
Excellent. That will be all, Trunchbull.
Thank you, Mr. Abel. Mr. Basil.
What are you doing at the window, brother?
Looking, brother. What are you doing by the fire?
Reading. It's going to snow, Abel.
It's not going to snow, Basil.
I think we'll have a white Christmas.
I don't think so.
I bet you a crisp new £5 note we get snow by the new year.
I bet you we don't.
Done. Another easy bit of money I've made off you, brother. A very interesting article in the newspaper here, Abel.
Mm.
The Bank of England has only once ever issued two notes of £1 million. One has been cancelled, the other lies in the vault to this very day. I wonder, can there be a more useless thing than a £1 million banknote?
Not useless, Basil.
It is useless, Abel. Think about it. If you turned a perfectly honest and intelligent stranger adrift in London with no friend and no money but that £1 million note, he'd starve to death.
He wouldn't.
He can't offer it at a bank. He wouldn't be able to account for it there or anywhere else. He'd be arrested on the spot.
He'd thrive.
He'd die. Or end up in jail or an asylum.
I bet you £5,000 that a man can live to New Year's Day, that's 30 days from now, on that £1 million note and not land in jail or the asylum.
Done! Easiest £5,000 I ever made. Here.
What the goodness?
Here's the very note. I went down to the bank this morning and bought it. Just in case.
You are as sly as a snake, Brother Basil.
I am indeed, Brother Abel, and to that end, I've written a letter with an invitation to try the proposition. I knew you would posit, my contrary brother.
I'm not contrary.
You are.
I'm not.
Are too. Now, let's sit in the window, find the right man to give it to. Let us see, for £5,000, which one of us is right.
£5,000? Paltry. £10,000.
£10,000 niggardly. £15,000.
I bet you £20,000 that a man can live to New Year's Day, that's 30 days from this very moment now, can live on that £1 million note and not land in jail or the asylum.
Done.
Done. Spit.
And shake on it. Easiest £20,000 I ever made.
Let's stand at the window, scan the street, watch out for an honest, intelligent man.
Let's. Me first.
No, me first.
Let the bet begin. There. Huh? That man returning that lady's purse. Oh, he's refusing her reward.
Honest, but not intelligent enough. There, that scallywag, stealing that lady's purse.
Yeah, intelligent, but not honest enough.
There, the beggar who lives behind our dustbin. Poor enough.
But not a stranger, and too malodorous.
Coming round the corner. Nursemaid and child.
Nursemaid? Wrong gender.
Child, right gender, wrong age.
Oh, observe. The child's taken one bite out of that pear and tossed it in the gutter. Children today.
Wait, who's that? Tall, beragged chap by the railings, staring fixedly at the pear.
Pear. Big, luscious, juicy pear. Minus only one bite. In the gutter, in the frozen mud. Big, juicy pear. I can't think about anything else. Get it, Henry.
Excuse me, some of us are Christmas shopping. Would you let me buy? You scavenger, you freeloader. Don't forage for fruit. Earn your pear, man. Move!
Pretend you're not thinking about the pear. No, no, no. Dumpty-dumpty-dum. Look nonchalant. Okay, Henry, get it now.
Could I please just get by, young man? I have money to spend. Oh, stop staring at the pear man. You're ogling fallen fruit. You failure. Out of my way. Move.
Don't think about the pear. Don't focus on the fruit. I am not hungry, not starving, not without food of any description for the past 24 hours. Dash it, Henry Adams. Brave all the shame of it. Seize the pear.
You there.
Me, sir?
You, sir. All in rags, eyeing that pear. Step in here, please. Black door, snip snap. Tubshaw, door.
The beragged gentleman. Gentleman.
Henry Adams, sirs.
You're an American.
San Francisco.
Not yet 30, I'm guessing.
27 years old, sir.
In the pear-picking business?
Only today, sir. I was a mining broker's clerk, expert in all details of stock traffic.
Family?
Alone in the world, sir. Nothing to depend upon but my wits and clean reputation. But these were setting my feet on the road to eventual fortune. Then I had a spot of ill luck.
Ah, ill luck. From drinking?
Cards?
Women?
Loose morals?
Sailing, sir. Every Saturday afternoon, I sailed on a little sailboat in the bay. This unlucky day, I ventured too far. Jeepers, I'm far out.
Sun's sinking. Time to turn for home.
Whoops!
Sailboat's bobbing a bit. These waves are getting a bit frisky. Hello. What's that on the horizon? Looks like... Oh, no. A serious squall! Oh, jeepers! I'm being carried out to sea! Night? Pitch black, no moon, no sight of land. I'm in the very middle of nowhere.
Keep hardy, Henry.
Wait.
What's that small round light? Is it the moon? No. It's coming towards me.
And I can hear something.
What's that on our course, bosun?
Looks like a small sailboat, Captain.
No looks, eh, bosun?
It's a small brig. Flying a Union Jack flag. Hello!
Crew one, Captain!
Well, haul him in, boys. Haul him in.
Are you bound towards San Francisco, sirs?
Fain away, young sea dog. We're for England. No passengers on this brig. You must work your passage, laddie. Put him as common crew, bosun.
Captain!
Feed him, work him, but no pay for you on this vessel, matey.
When I stepped ashore here in London, my clothes were all ragged and shabby, as you see, sirs.
Yes, we see.
I had only $1 in my pocket, which fed and sheltered me, but 24 hours. These past 24, I have been without shelter or food.
Hence the pair.
Hence the pair, sir.
He will answer our purpose, brother.
I concur, brother.
Here, take this envelope. It contains a business proposition and some wherewithal to carry it out. You will find all explanation inside.
Right, shall I?
No, don't open it now. Do not be hasty or rash. Take it to your lodgings. Look it over carefully.
I'm puzzled. Can we discuss the matter further?
No, we can't. We're old men, but busy. Must get on.
Then I'll take my leave.
Excellent.
I'm sure!
Mr. Abel.
Show our guest out, Trubshaw.
Good day, Mr. Henry Adams, and a little early, but a very merry Christmas.
Let me show you out, sir.
Some kind of practical joke. Well, it's not funny, gentlemen! Lost at sea, friendless... Homeless, out of luck, out of pocket, and now a figure of fun. And still starving. Oh, perfect, Henry. You've stood on the pier. Nothing to do but just open the envelope. Explanatory note, and this at the bottom must be the wherewithal of which he spoke. Looks like a folded up banknote of some denomination, but who cares as long as it's money? Money! Oh, I've got some money. Money means food. Put the note safely in your vest pocket, Henry. Safe. Good. Quick. Starving. Henry, eat. Go! Oh, Harris is eating house! Mrs. Harris? Proprietor S?
Yes?
Food, please. Immediately. Got any pies?
Yeah, I've got pies. Oh. All fillings. Meat, fish, rabbit, unidentified meat remains off.
Potatoes?
Yeah, I've got potatoes, fried roast, boiled croquettes, chip, mashed, lumpy, cheesy, smooth.
Pudding?
Yes, I've got pudding. Sweet, savoury, identifiable contents, and lucky dip contents. Tell you what, Governor... You got a look of anger about you. Will I do you the all-in-one, all-day Christmas shopper's special? Never
seen such a polished, clean plate. Clear away, will I?
Thank you, Mrs. Harris. No, leave the coffee. There's still an eighth of an inch in it. Okay. Good luck. Now to read this note and look at this money and see what this rum event is about. It's for... Cripes! £1 million? That's jeepers. $5 million! It's gotta be a fake. No, there's the watermark thing official stamp doohickey. No, it's real. It's a £1 million note! Cripes, jeepers. Well, this will certainly cover the price of your dinner, Henry. Here, Mrs. Harris.
Struth. Oh, blimey. You having a laugh at my expense, Governor?
Not at all. Give me my change, please.
I can't break this, Governor.
Take it.
No.
And I'm sorry if it's an inconvenience, Mrs. Harris, but I must insist, please change it. I haven't anything smaller. Sorry.
No matter. As proprietress, cook, major shareholder, entire staff, owner, widow, I'm prepared to let the trifle stand over till another time.
But I might not be in your neighbourhood again in a good while.
It is of no consequence, Your Honour. I can wait, Your Lordship. Moreover, I can wait. And you can have anything you want, any time you choose, and let the account run as long as you please. I hope I, a bereft... lonely widow ain't afraid to trust as rich a gentleman as you merely because you're of a merry disposition and choose to play larks on the public in the matter of dress. Put it out of sight, Your Worship. Let me see you to the door, Your Honour. But come again soon, Your Lordship. This lonely, bereft widow is always here.
I must return to those brothers. They've given me a £1 million note instead of a £1. After all, they both wore spectacles. This must be a nearsighted geriatric mistake. I must correct it before the police hunt me up. Black Door, here it is.
Sir?
May I see the two old gentlemen?
They are gone.
Gone? Gone where?
On a journey.
But where?
The continent, I think.
The continent?
Yes, sir.
By what route?
I can't say, sir.
When will they be back?
In a month, they said.
A month? Not till New Year's Day?
Not till New Year's Day.
Oh, this is awful. How do I get word to them?
You can't, sir.
There's been an immense mistake made. If they come back, tell them I've been here and will keep coming till all's made right and they needn't be afraid.
I'll tell them, sir, but I'm sadly not expecting them. But I'm charged to deliver to you the following message. It's all right. We'll be here on time, New Year's Day morning, and we'll expect you.
Here on time? What does that mean? Oh, the letter! That'll explain it. Dear to whom it may concern, you are an intelligent
and honest man, as one may see by your face. We conceive you to be poor and a stranger. Enclosed, you will find a sum of money. It is lent to you for 30 days without interest. Report at this house at the end of that time. New Year's Day morning.
I have a bet on you. If I win it, you shall have any situation with commensurate salary that is in my gift. Any, that is, that you shall prove yourself familiar with and competent to fill.
Well, here's a coil to be in. Oh, walk and think, Henry. You, dear listener, know what is going on, while I am in a deep, dark hustle. Bear with me while I go in the park and have a think. Well, dear listener, the park is freezing. It is threatening snow, and here's what I think. If...
I ask the Bank of England to place this bill to the credit of its owner. They'll do it. They know him. I don't, but... Yikes. They'll ask me how I came to be in possession of it. If I, A, tell the truth, they'll hurl me into an asylum. If I, B, lie, they'll hurl me into jail. If I, C, try to bank the bill, or D, borrow money on it, they'll hurl me either in A, the asylum, or B, the jail. All this hurling, all this ABCDing. Decide, Henry. All right. I must carry the immense burden around until those two gentlemen get back. A £1 million note is as useless to me as a handful of ashes. But I must take care of it. Not burn it, lose it, give it away, but watch over it while I beg for my living. Meanwhile, I've got a month's suffering without wages or profit. Unless I help win that bet and get that situation I'm promised. A situation with a salary per annum. Oh, I should like that. These brothers must have promising situations in their gift. Walk and savor your luck, Henry. Walk and savor. Follow me, dear listeners. Follow me. Here's an open shop. Vesuvius Tailors. I'd love to lose my rags. Wear decent clothes again. Can I afford it? No. Oh, unlucky man. Walk on by. Just give in. Just go in.
Yes, sir?
Do you have a misfit suit thrown on your hands?
My establishment has everything in the tailoring line. Let me hand you over to the assistant, sir. Mr. Raymond.
Mr. Vesuvius.
Customer, Mr. Raymond.
Happy to oblige, Mr. Vesuvius. Ah, one moment, sir. Todd.
Mr. Raymond.
Customer for you, Todd. The cloth sorter will deal with you, sir.
Follow me. Rejected suits are in the back. This one looks nearly your size and fit.
The rattiest, thank you.
Jacket.
Thank you. It doesn't fit.
No. See the sign. Misfit suits.
It's not in any way attractive.
No.
It is new.
Yeah. Ish. Try the trousers.
Okay.
Oh!
It's a bit tight in the crotch.
It's a misfit. That's why gentlemen usually reject them. The discomfort...
I'll take it. I'll keep it on.
Oh. Will I wrap your rags for you?
How kind. And it would be an accommodation to me if you could wait some days for the money. I haven't any small change about me.
Oh, well, what a surprise. I'd only expect gentlemen like you to carry large change.
My friend, you shouldn't jump to judge a stranger by the clothes he wears.
Rags he wears.
Ragged clothes he wears. I am quite able to pay for the suit. I simply didn't wish to put you to the trouble of changing a large note.
My friend, you shouldn't jump to judge that we can't change any note that you might be carrying around.
Very well, I'm so sorry. I do apologize. Here.
Crikey! Mr. Raymond!
Todd, well, what's up? What's the trouble?
No trouble. I'm waiting for my change.
Get him his change, Todd. Even a cloth sorter must be able to make change. Now, come, Todd, clickety-split.
Well, it's easy to say, Mr. Raymond. Look at the note.
Get Mr. Vesuvius, Todd.
Mr. Vesuvius! Mr. Vesuvius!
In the world of genteel tailoring, we never raise our voices, Todd.
Look at the gentleman's preferred method of payment, Mr. Vesuvius.
Oh, my well-cut three-piece! Sell an eccentric millionaire a suit like that, Todd? Fool! Drives every millionaire away from here, it does, because he can't distinguish a millionaire from a trap.
Oh, my stars and stripes! He's treating me like a millionaire! He took one look at the note and...
Get that apology of a suit off the gentleman.
Yes, Mr. Vesuvius.
I'll do it.
I'll do it. You're only the cloth sorter.
Return the suit to the misfit section, Todd, sir. Just pop this shirt on. It's fine lawn.
Pearl buttons.
Exactly, sir. Mr. Raymond, go to the best expensive section. Bring back the Prince of Wales check, sir. Here. Do me a favor, sir. Try this waistcoat.
Oh, excellent.
Isn't it? Just the very thing. Plain, rich, modest, ducally nobby, made to order for His Serene Highness the Hospodar of Halifax. You may know him, sir. Mother died. Had to take a mourning suit instead. In the midst of life and tailoring, we are in trousers, Mr. Raymond.
Let me help you into the trousers, sir. Left leg.
Yes.
Right leg. Oh, let me do the buttons for you, sir.
There. Trousers fit you like a charm, sir. Now, the coat.
Oh, Lord. Look at that now.
Perfect. The whole three pieces. I never saw such a triumph.
Yes, I look rather well.
It's what tailoring's all about, Mr. Vesuvius.
Satisfying the customer.
Yes, it will do.
Do? For a makeshift, sir. But let's get up one for your own measure. Mr. Raymond, tape measure.
Outside leg, 44 inches.
But, my dear sir, I can't order a suit unless you can wait indefinitely or change my million-pound note.
Indefinitely? A weak word, sir. A weak word. Eternally. That's the strong word, sir. Inside leg, Mr. Raymond.
Inside leg, 36.
Mr. Raymond, Todd, rush these things through. Let minor customers wait. Send them to the gentleman's address.
I'm changing my quarters. I will drop in and leave my new address.
Quite right, sir. Quite right. Going. Door, Todd. Let me show you through the... Feel that chill, sir. Perhaps an overcoat. Very plain. Here we are. Slip this one on.
Well, it is cold.
Ooh,
tailoring perfection.
Dear listener, how easy it was. How horribly, wonderfully, frighteningly, pleasantly, roller-coasterly, metaphorical small sailboat heading through choppy sea for the rocks, easy it became to see something I want, then present my million-pound note and ask for change, and then my arms being piled high with anything I want after paying not one penny. What a week! Monday, it's...
Welcome to the Hanover Street Hotel.
I'd like a room. Your best room. I'd like to pay in advance. Here's a banknote. Can you change it?
Lord, sir. No, sir. I mean, no need, sir. Come this way. Bellboy, take this gentleman to the royalty suite.
Tuesday, it's...
Bellboy, sir. Will you like night snacks, sir? Sausages, baked potato, buttered toast, rib steak, salad, and champagne.
Bellboy!
Sir?
It's too damn cold to venture out today.
Oh, I agree, sir. Well, whatever you say.
Bring me the latest papers, novels, some little cakes, some dragees, some crystallized fruits, and perhaps some continuing gin and vermouth. Here's the...
Oh, no need to tick me just yet, sir. I can't change that.
Thursday, after a whole day in bed, as I fling open my wardrobe, regard my now quite extensive collection of suits, shirts, underwear, silk, shoes, polished, I spy in the darkest corner my old ragged clothes, and on a whim, I put them on, and popping my trusty million-pound note in my vest pocket, I try if I can get into the opera.
tears up. Figure alone in a box. Yes, him. There, all in rags. Maximilian, Octavia, Julian. Julian! Pretend to eat your smoked salmon, but surreptitiously look over my shoulder. Yes, the fellow in the rags, drinking.
A pint of porter, isn't that fun? I do believe, haven't you heard? I think it is. I'm pretty sure that... Yes, look, he's reaching in his vest pocket to pay for the...
Program, smoked salmon.
Porter, ticket box, he's proffering it. Oh, that's the £1 million note.
It's him.
He's the best pocket millionaire.
Friday. I take a turn around the park. The news spreads like wildfire, and now I am followed everywhere by somewhat pesky newspaper chaps.
Sir, sir, the bellboy says you try to tip him with £1 million note. You get a call on that?
Beans, would you just tip Mr. Wink about your background, mister?
Was he money,
though? Would you be living permanently?
Yes, sir, sir, sir. Could you just pause while we get a daguerreotype of you taking the banknote out of your vest pocket, sir?
People are calling you the best pocket million-pounder, sir. Turn the comments, sir.
You can't go away, sir.
Within a week, I am sumptuously equipped with all needful comforts and luxuries and housed most royally in the royalty suite of the excellent Hanover Street Hotel. What a week! What a week! Every night, a rich dinner, but every breakfast, for breakfast, a simple bowl of warm oatmeal at Harris's humble feeding house.
You've been a making of me, Gov. The making is like you're the patron saint of Harris Humble Eating House. Because of you coming here with £1 million, sir, in your vest pocket. We was poor. We were struggling. We was hand to mouth. Until you made us celebrated, talked about, and overcrowded. I'm beyond grateful. Beyond. Here. Alone. From a beyond grateful business widow woman.
I have money to spend. I live like the rich and great. I must be off, Mrs. Harris.
You're in all the newspapers and periodicals, Gov. The best pocket million pounder, that's you, Gov. You was bottom of the personal columns, but look, each day, up you goes, Gov. Above the knights, above the baronets, above the dukes, above the ecclesiasticals even. That's fame, that is.
No, Mrs. Harris, not fame.
There he is.
That's him.
The best pocket millionaire.
Notoriety. The crash may be coming, but I'm in it now. I sink or swim. Oh, but in the night, in the dark. Who's that? Is there someone in my bedroom?
Just a bellboy, sir.
What do you want at this hour?
There's no way to talk to me, sir. Stuff I've brought you. Me! A poor hopeful youth.
But, bellboy, I promised I'd see you right eventually.
You've made me an accomplice in this, you have. You promised me a tip. Where's my tip?
I'll tip you as soon as I can, bellboy. I promise. Bellboy? Bellboy?
Not a bell. Not a boy. Just a poor defenseless widow woman served an ill turn.
Mrs. Harris? How the jeepers did you get in here?
Your door was open. Just as my door was open to you, sir. Well... You've done me a fine turn, you have. Eaten all my breakfast specials and you without a farthing to your name.
I'm sorry.
I should bake you in a pie, you thieving little blackbird.
I'm so sorry.
I should roast you over a spit.
No, 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 not the spit. It'll scorch all these suits I haven't paid for.
Yes, sir.
On the matter of the suits, sir. Mr. Vesuvius, Mr. Raymond, Todd? How did you all get in here?
We came in vile wardrobes, sir.
Depped in under your free ties and shirts and your long, windy cashmere, sir.
Where's the money for the Prince of Wales checks?
The money for the warm overcoat?
I haven't got it.
He says he hasn't got it. You hear that, all you people in the tall boy?
People in the tall boy? What's going on? Am I going mad? Which people in the tall boy?
Your other creditors, sir. Where's the money for the hat, the gloves, the Malacca cane? Ask him, bellboy.
Bellboy? I brought all these things up the stairs for you. Where's my tip?
You promised me a tip.
I know. I will pay you when I can.
The specials, the winter warmer or chocolate.
Mrs. Harris, where are you?
Drinks cabinet with all your unpaid liquor, sir. Very nice.
The silk underwear. The socks. The long, windy cashmere scarf. Very nice. You want us to wind you up in your long, windy cashmere scarf, do you?
No!
We don't want his sort in our honest, law-abiding nation. Send him to sea!
No!
All him over the side, both ends!
He should be sent back from whence he came.
Have him in irons!
No!
Yes!
No!
Over him in the bilge!
The bilge came!
Not the bilge!
With the rats!
No, not with the rats!
Yes!
No.
The rats!
No!
The rats!
No, not with a rat! An honest man down on his luck! I'm not a rat! Don't throw me in the bilge! I can't! No! Oh, this is just a nightmare.
Then, in daylight, as the wintry sun rises, sparkling the frosty buildings as Christmas approaches in London's icy streets, I think what I must have out of this is a situation carrying a salary of £600 a year. That do? £1,000 a year. Okay, I'll settle for £600 the first year, and so on, rising slowly as I merit it to £1,000 in a very few years' time. Good. And now, so far I only owe... Cheapers, £600? And must resist people trying to make me owe more. Good. A forward plan. Here I am. The American Embassy. If the crash comes, if the unexpected happens, if, Christ jeepers, the expected happens, I'm an American. This is my embassy. They'll get me out of trouble. Ambassador.
The Vest Pocket Million Pounder, huh? Very welcome. Say, that nose. I know that nose. Surname?
Adams.
You're a Henry, I'll bet.
The third, sir.
Knew your grandfather, the first. Knew your father, the second. Boys together, preparatory school, junior, senior, Yale together. Now here you are, Henry Adams the third, eh? And made something of yourself, I hear. An American hero. An American success story. Accompany me to dinner tonight, thrown by a delightfully rich English society hostess. Just a small dinner, very informal.
Mrs. the Honorable Hortensia Gotsit Sleeping welcomes Lord and Lady Blatherskite. The Duke and Duchess of Shoreditch. And their lovely daughter, Lady Anne Grace Eleanor Celeste, and so forth, de Beau. Some untitled people of both sexes, a reverend minister and his wife and daughter, his daughter's visiting friend, Miss Portia Langham.
Miss Portia Langham.
Mrs. Gotsett Sleeping, so kind of you to invite me to your lovely evening.
Good evening.
Ambassador, lovely to see you.
And you, Miss Portia Langham.
Cripes! Jeepers! I see this flesh and blood vision, this woman of my dreams. Cupid fires his arrow. Bullseye! Shot through the heart. I fall like a moose onto a forest floor. Love courses like champagne through my veins.
Oh, may I help you up, Lord, Sir, Mr.
Henry Adams the Third.
Mr. Henry Adams the Third, person in all the newspapers.
She looks at me.
Mr. Adams.
I look at her. Miss Langham.
I must join my party. Reverend Cheeser, Mrs. Reverend Cheeser.
I love you.
Wait for me, all you cheesers.
My heart is yours.
Help me to the canopies.
Come back.
I'm all distracted.
Mr. Lloyd Hastings.
Lloyd? Lloyd Hastings?
Henry? Henry Adams, mining clerk at Blake Hopkins Limited, 22 Harbor Street, San Francisco. That Henry Adams?
Lloyd Hastings, mining clerk at Gold and Curry Limited, 24 Harbor Street, San Francisco, who I last saw three months to the day at 2 a.m. one morning at the What Cheer, 26 Harbor Street, San Francisco, who at that godless hour said,
I've got a deal on a gold mine, Henry. Leave San Francisco. Come with me. Help me sell its shares and make us both rich. It's a winner, Henry. We can't lose. We can only win, win, win.
That Lloyd Hastings?
That Lloyd Hastings, Henry Adams, who replied over a chop and coffee paid for by me.
No can do, Lloyd. I don't think you'll succeed. It's not a winner, Lloyd. I think we'll lose. Only lose, lose, lose. And I can't take any chances.
That, Henry Adams!
Yes, Lloyd!
And yet, here you are, Henry, the vast millionaire.
Best millionaire.
It's like a modern-day Arabian Nights.
London Nights, Lloyd.
I can't get my head around it.
It's a long, long story. I'll tell you about it on New Year's Day.
That's 2 weeks away.
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, huge apologies, Lloyd. How is your scheme succeeding?
It's not. You're a prophet, a true prophet. I wish I hadn't come. I don't want to talk about
it. You must. When we leave here, meet me at the door. Come stay with me tonight. Tell me all about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if the gentleman could choose a lady to accompany into the banqueting room, dinner is served.
Miss Langham, would you do me the great honor and pleasure of letting me lead you away from the canapes and into dinner?
I'd love it, Mr. Adams.
Henry.
Henry.
Miss Langham.
Portia.
Portia.
Henry.
Henry and Portia, don't they seem to go together?
Like horse and carriage.
Like love and marriage.
Oh, heavens.
Oh, jeepers.
Now you've got your ladies, would you all proceed by order of precedence? I think you, Lord Shoreditch, and your lovely wife before Lord and Lady Blatherskite. London takes precedence over county, I think. Viscount before the Earl and Countess of Cheapside. Then all you untiteds. Then you Americans. Dinner, then after refreshment, cribbage. Yes, sixpence a game. And this is England. We don't play cards for amusement.
I've never played a card game so badly or enjoyed one so much. I lost everything. The game, my mind, and my heart, my heart, my heart. Singleton, please. Another singleton. Oh, Portia. Two singletons. Your pickup.
A heart. Oh. Another heart. Oh. Oh, look, Henry. A pair.
A pair. Oh, it's a sign.
Oh, lost again.
Me too.
I can't seem to keep my mind on my cribbage.
Nor can I. What card did I just lay?
I have absolutely no idea.
Nor I. It's because I'm suddenly so in love with you.
Oh, I'm blushing. I'm bright red.
You are. You are. Even your hair is turning red. I must be honest with you. I want you to be mine, but I haven't a cent in the world.
And I must be honest with you. I want to be yours, and I don't care a penny that you haven't a cent in the world. You really haven't a cent in the world.
Really? Two mad old chaps have a bet on me.
Two mad old chaps?
Brothers, Mr. Abel and Mr. Basil.
Really?
I told her the whole history right from the start. And It nearly killed her laughing.
Oh, describe these mad old brothers again, dearest Henry.
I would have to stop as much as a minute and a half to let her settle. Why, she laughed herself lame. She did indeed. I mean, I never saw such a, well, painful story. A man's troubles, worries, fears produce such an effect.
Oh, how terrible for you. And how funny.
I loved her all the more for being cheerful.
Oh, no. Oh, it's just, I'm cheerful.
When there wasn't anything to be cheerful about.
Ladies and gentlemen of all ranks, high and low, as Mrs. Scottsit sleeping keeps very early hours, your carriages have been ordered and are awaiting you.
Oh, I must go. The Cheeser carriage is here.
Kiss me.
Yes.
I must kiss your lips.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. It must be this time, my hand, not my lips.
This time, your hand. But next time?
Next time.
Next time.
The lips.
Here we are, Lloyd. My hotel suite. My drawing room.
Oh, it's enormous. You could seat 60.
Which leads through into my bathroom.
Oh, you could seat a fair few here, too.
Which leads through into my bedroom.
You could sleep a fair few here, too.
Which leads back into the drawing room.
Oh, it's a palace. You're in a palace, Adams.
Well, it's the royalty suite. Oh, and this door here opens my drinks cabinet.
Oh, it makes me realize how rich to the core you are, how to the bone, the marrow poor I am. Defeated, routed, annihilated.
Here, down this hot scotch.
Oh, Henry. Miserable.
His language gave me the cold shudders. I'd been dreaming of a future, me, mired deep in debt, with this lovely girl's joy or woe in my hands, and nothing in front of me but a salary which might never... Oh, come on, Henry. Would never materialize. I'm ruined. Nothing can save me. Lloyd, I'm standing on a half-inch crust with a crater underneath my feet. Hungry?
No, not a bite. I'm past it. I can't eat these days. But I'll drink with you till I drop. Come.
Barrel for barrel. I'm with you. Ready? Here we go. You tell me your story.
I came to London with what seemed a grand opportunity. If I could sell shares on behalf of the discoverers of that Gould and Curry gold mine I told you about at the Watch Here, I could keep all I could get over $1 million. Henry, I've worked hard. I've pulled every wire that left no honest expedient untried. With what result? I've spent nearly all the money I had in the world. I haven't persuaded one solitary capitalist to listen, and my option runs out at the end of the month. My story's a tragedy. Pass the scotch.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed as the twilight's last gleaming.
Lloyd! I've had a brilliant notion! I will save you. I'm a pauper myself, penniless in debt, but I will save you.
I know you will.
You
may use my name.
I may use your name?
To vouch for your gold mine shares. I know its immense value. I can swear to it if anybody wishes it. You shall sell out inside of the fortnight for 3 million cash. That's 1 million to the mine owners, 1 million to you, 1 million to me. They'll flock in droves, these rich Londoners.
They'll flock in droves, all the rich Londoners.
They'll fight for that stock.
Oh, they will. All the rich Londoners. I'm a made man.
You're a made man.
I'll never forget you as long as I live.
And I'll never forget you as long as you live. Let's drink to it. Scotch is finished. Uh-huh. Start on the gin.
24 hours. London was a buzz. Monday, all I had to do was sit at home with an ice bag on my head and...
Mr. Adams, a business gentleman wishes to see you on a business matter.
Send him up.
Mr. Adams, sir, Mr. Lloyd Hastings tells me you know him of old.
Yes. I told him to refer anyone interested in his investment to me. I know the man, and I know the mine. Tuesday, it was...
Some more business gentlemen to visit Mr. Adams.
Show them in, bellboy.
An associate of ours visited you yesterday,
Mr. Adams, and was so bold as to suggest we came to see you to hear all about...
All about Mr. Hastings' character.
Character? Above reproach. Wednesday. More investors.
So, about the stocks in Mr. Hastings' mine.
The stocks? Gilt-edged.
Sorry to push you, Mr. Adams.
We wanted to express our urgent interest in the mine.
We brought our checkbooks.
Checkbooks.
Tell us, if you'd be so good.
About Mr. Hastings' mine.
The mine? Why, it's a little gold mine. Saturday, it's...
We're nearly there, Henry. Dashed shares are selling like hot chestnuts. A last push and... Ooh, where's the dash scotch?
Portia, sweetest, it's Christmas Day.
Merry Christmas.
Observe the absence of personages here at the rectory. The Reverend Cheeser and Mrs. Cheeser have gone to church... Your school chum, Miss Amelia Cheeser, is upstairs writing her commonplace book. We are quite alone.
Merry, Merry Christmas.
Let's talk about love.
Excellent subject. Begin.
I love you.
I love you.
Will you be my...
wife? Yes, dearest.
You've made me the happiest man. Will you let me...
kiss on the lips? At last. Yes.
Portia, dear, would you mind going with me on New Year's Day when I confront the two old goats?
Two old goats? Oh, dearest, if it would hearten you, but would it be quite proper?
I don't know, but there's so much dependent on it.
Then I'll go. Proper or improper, I shall be so happy to think I'm helping.
Helping? You'll be doing it all. So beautiful and lovely and winning. With you there, I'll be able to pile our salary till I break those good old fellows.
Wicked flatterer.
Dear listeners, by New Year's Day, Lloyd had $1 million to his credit in the London and Country Bank.
New Year's Eve! Nearly midnight, Henry. Oh, two glasses, Henry. Oh. Bubbly! Oh. Get the champagne cork out, Henry!
And, as the old year ended, I too had $1 million to my credit in the London and Country Bank.
Thank you, old friend.
Thank you!
Next day, start of the new year, whopping hangover, but in my best clothes... Portia.
Henry.
Oh, Portia, sweetest. The way you're looking, it's a crime to strike for a salary under £3,000 a year. Let's go.
Henry. Henry,
Don't ask for too much. You'll ruin us.
Don't be afraid. Trust me. It'll all come out right. Dear listener, I had to keep bolstering up her courage all the way.
Please remember, if we ask too much, we may get no salary at all. And then what will become of us, with no way in the world to earn our living?
Dearest, we will live on love.
Dearest, we will indeed. Love will be our home, our furniture, our transport, and our entire occupation.
Oh, Mr. Adams.
Good morning. I'm expected.
This way, sir. Why, madam, my goodness. The expected gentleman.
It's all right, gentlemen. This lady is my future stay and helpmate. And I am ready to report.
If you have won this bet for me, you shall have any situation in my gift. Have you the £1 million note?
Here it is.
I've won! Now, what do you say to that, brother?
I say he did survive, and I've lost £20,000.
There's more. I want to detail my whole month's history. Meanwhile, take a look at this.
A certificate of deposit for £200,000. Yours?
Mine. Earned by judicious use of your little loan.
You're astonishing. Incredible.
Henry, is that really your money? Have you been fibbing to me?
I have indeed, sweetest, but you'll forgive me, I know.
Don't be so sure. That's very naughty.
I know.
The situation. I want to give you your situation.
Well, I'm as grateful as can be, but I really don't want one.
But you can have the very choicest one in my gift.
Thank you again, with all my heart, but I don't even want that one.
Henry, I'm ashamed of you. You don't half thank the good gentleman. May I do it for you?
She walked up to him, my beloved, got up in his lap, my sweetheart, put her arm round his neck, my heart's own, and
mwah.
Kissed him.
Papa, he says you haven't a situation in your gift.
Portia?
Yes, darling?
Is that your papa?
Yes, my papa, and the dearest one that ever was.
Oh, my dearest, dear sir, I want to take back what I said. You have got a situation open that I want.
Name it.
Son-in-law.
Well, but you know, if you've never served in that capacity, you can't furnish recommendations of a sort to satisfy the conditions of the contract.
Try me. Just try me for, say, 30 or 40 years.
Oh, well, all right. Take her along.
We were about to go.
Sir, madam, should I order a covered taxi? It has just started snowing.
What? Snow, brother! You owe me £5. Happy New Year, everyone!
Happy New Year!
Ladies, gentlemen, and listeners, Henry Adams was played by Mr. Trevor White. Miss Portia Langham was Ms. Verity May Henry. Mr. Abel was Mr. Malcolm Rayburn. Mr. Basil, Mr. Raymond, and Major Domo were played by Mr. Jonathan Keeble. Lloyd Hastings was Mr. John Garasio. Trubshaw and Mr. Vesuvius were Mr. Conrad Nelson. Mrs. Harris, Lonely Widow, was played by Ms. Catherine Hunt. Bellboy and Todd was Mr. Stephen Hoyle. The £1 million banknote by Mark Twain was dramatised by Miss Bryony Lavery, and the producers were Miss Pauline Harris and Miss Sharon Sefton.
We'll be celebrating Christmas with the Beatles next here on Radio 4 with some of their rare Christmas message recordings. We look at how they wore their panto costumes so well and how the film Magical Mystery Tour was made. Then at 4 o'clock, we join Jane Garvey.
On Weekend Woman's Hour today, a programme about remarkable women in which Margaret Humphreys talks about the scandal of the child migration programme, which sent thousands of British children to Australia, where many suffered abuse and neglect and their birth parents had no idea.
The majority did not know their children had been sent, had not given consent, and many mothers were told their children had been adopted in good homes in this country, and some families, some mothers, had been told their children had died.
Hear more from Margaret Humphreys and much more about many other remarkable women on Weekend Woman's Hour this afternoon at 4.
Show business and the music industry enjoy a cosy relationship with Christmas. And as we now hear, the Beatles responded with a wealth of festive fan club recordings, appeared in panto and directed their own Boxing Day TV film, Magic Mystery Tour. Alexei Sale now invites us for A Beatles Christmas.
Christmas time is here again. Christmas time is here.
This is Paul McCartney here. I'd just like to wish you everything you wish yourselves for Christmas.
This is John Lennon saying on behalf of the Beatles, have a very happy Christmas and a good new year.
George Harrison speaking. I'd like to take this opportunity of wishing a very Merry Christmas, listeners everywhere.
Ringo Starr, and I'd just like to say Merry Christmas and a really Happy New Year to all listeners.
And this is Alexei Sale with the sound of the Beatles at Christmas and a special song from their 1967 fan club record that was sent to loyal Fab Four fans in time for the festive season. These days, the charts are awash with reality TV stars and X Factor winners, all attempting to get us to stuff their latest musical offering into the hands of some poor, unsuspecting family members.